Bengals, the drive to the rack, almost in slow motion here.
NBA Australia. How you going? That's right, man. It's NBA Australia. It is Thursday, April 25. A solemn, thankful Anzac Day to you all. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to sling me some of that walking around stuff. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA playoffs today. Breaking down and wrapping up after every single day of NBA action while repping Straya just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. All right, so two mega fun elimination games to cover today. We had Jazz Rockets and we bid farewell to the Utah Jazz while the Clippers stayed in the Warriors series. So lots of good stuff to talk about there. That'll all be covered with the usual dumbassery if that's not a knife. Old mate, no mate, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, as usual, we've got yeah, nah. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day. And we've got our back takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. And as befits Anzac Day, we've got a new Kiwi Corner as we check in on Stephen Adams for the last time in season. Plus, there's a look at the odds and a pick and preview for the, the Spurs-Nuggets game tomorrow, which would be kind of fun. And we're going to close out and finish off with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams as our big Kiwi Colossus friend. Let's us know what's been going on since the OKC Thunder were knocked out yesterday. Oh, it's going to be great. Trust me. All right, man. It's NBA Stripe, episode 272. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
All right, first off, Anzac Day. Right off the bat, we'll do it. Thanks to all those who have served, are serving currently, and those who support them. Thank you all. Lest we forget, indeed. It is a very, very, very important day in Australian history, and can't not bring it up. So good stuff on your Anzac Day. Hope the footy's going all right. Hope everyone's enjoying their day off, too. There you go. All right, man, let's get into it. Let's get into NBA Australia. Let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia. With a daily whip around, that's right. We've got a bit of news floating around. How was the awesome fallout from the Thunder Blazers game yesterday? Oh, geez. Not only did the Blazers tweet next question with the score and a picture of Dame after Dame's big shot, pretty good. Enos the Penis Cantor tweets out, can play Cantor after beating his former team. And then also when he went into his press conference with his left shoulder all taped up, he said, well, first, I would definitely like to thank the Knicks for waving me. Way to go, Cantor. Dame even got in on it, tweeting out, lol, when there was a quote of Paul George saying that his shot was a bad shot. Unreal. And it also came out today that Dame told Yahoo Sports, I'm getting rid of these motherfuckers before game five. That is awesome. Good job, Dame. Just some really good quotes as well at the end of it. The game, the series was over and that was it. I was just waving goodbye to him. This is what Dame was saying when he waved goodbye to the Thunder. I think after game three, Dennis Schroeder was out there pointing at his wrist. They was out there doing all these celebrations and doing all these stuff. We kept our composure, and after one win, that's what they decided to do. And we was just like, okay, what we want to do is win four games. And then when we win those four games, there's not going to be nothing to talk about. So that's what that was. Nice. There's been a lot of back and forth, a lot of talk and all this stuff. And that was the last word. That was having the last word. On your Dame, what a legend. Just great stuff. Other news, LeBron James jumped on his IG, his Instagram, in a story saying, it's not true, calling out ESPN, saying there was rumors about him being unhappy with the Lakers sorting out their front office and all the Magic Johnson bouncing and not having a coach and everything. So LeBron forcefully refuting those rumors. Sure. Yeah. Because he's obviously very happy with it all. Anyway, and with the Nets season finishing yesterday, D'Angelo Russell told reporters that he definitely hopes to return to Brooklyn next season. Also, he pointed out that as a restricted free agent, much of what happens is not really in his hands. saying, I definitely want to be here, but I also know it's a business, so I'm not going to play that role like I don't know what could possibly happen. Say somebody comes here that I have to be a part of, a transaction to be a part, to trade for them. I know that could be a possibility. So I just want to stay in this moment and not speak too soon about anything. But hey, if he wants to go to, if he wants to stay in Brooklyn, sure. Injury news. Turns out Enes the Penis Kanter separated his shoulder yesterday and played through it, which was tough as hell. Received an injection at halftime, gutted his way through 32 total minutes, which is pretty crazy. He's got at least until, what, Saturday, as they await Denver San Antonio's winner. Nice. Kyle Lowry injured his ring finger on his right hand. In their game 5 win. He might be fine, though. And Detroit, Blake Griffin, who went under the knife for a bit of arthroscopic surgery on his left knee. Nice. And the Pistons said that the procedure was successful, addressed the issue that caused him having all that soreness in his knee, limping around the last fucking 4 weeks. And they reckon Griffin is going to be fully recovered before the start of training camp in September. More importantly, will he be at the Montreal Comedy Festival? That's what I want to know. All right, let's do some wraps for today's 2 games. Had some massive games. They were very fun as well. Utah and Houston was a mano-a-mano struggle for a lot of this. But ultimately, Houston ended up winning at 191 in Houston. Way to go, Clutch City. So the big question going into this series was, are Houston stoked to be the 4 seed, take on Utah, and then get the Warriors early while they're still healthy? Turns out, yeah. I mean, they came into this fucking all guns blazing. They hit pretty much all the sort of standards that you'd expect to see. Like, they didn't play too badly for very long stretches at all. They were really, really on the ball. The game they lost, they kind of just kind of like, kind of crapped the bed in like the second half of game 4, and that was about it. Otherwise, they looked pretty bloody good. So good job, Houston. For the key blokes, it was Harden versus not Dante Exum. So James Harden was thankful that he had a very good series, obviously. Donovan fucking Mitchell. Yeah, so he shot 36% against Houston last year in the playoffs. And didn't have a great one of it this time around, did he? Because I'll tell you what, overall, what do you reckon he shot? 31%? Donnie. What are you doing, mate? We'll talk about him later. The best matchup to watch out for was Harden versus whoever they threw at him, Ricky Rubio, Royce O'Neal, etc. That was really fun. Watching them guard him was just great. Gobert versus Capella. Clint Capella was a sort of interesting kind of matchup. Gobert didn't really have to change too many people out. But when they threw him in the pick and roll, it was kind of just, he got a little bit exposed. Capella was pretty shit. They didn't have to go too hammer and tongs at each other, but I know Capella came very good in game 5 and was completely fine after having a couple of shitty games in a row. So, I don't know. I guess he came out winning that matchup. So, there you go. Game 5, to wrap this one up, 191. Utah lose. They go home. Look, this was crazy. They probably should have won. Harden could have hit a shot for most of the first half. But then the Rockets just got fucking hot in the last 3.5 minutes of the second quarter. And look, they scored 14 minutes in 3.5 minutes, basically. It was just brutal. The Jazz had a 7-point lead, and then it's like, oh, shit. And they coughed it all up. Houston's defense clamped down, and the Jazz offense just spluttered at a very inopportune time. Jingling Joe Ingles hit 3 threes, also had 2 air balls in the first half. Donovan Mitchell was fucking awful in the first half, 2 of 11, and didn't get any better. And it was brutal. And then Houston just busted the game open, 10-0 to start the third. The Jazz were just in big trouble. They just had too many turnovers too easily. And they sort of tried their hardest to sort of claw their way back into this, and they did. And then they just shit the bed down the stretch. This was brutal, man. Harden floaters. Harden was like really sort of struggling with his shot there for a long time. And then he's like, oh, wait, hang on a second. I'll just get in the paint if you're going to sit on my left shoulder. Chucked up some floaters. They went in. He was looking pretty good here and there. So good on him. What else happened? Utah missed a bunch of wide open threes. That was brutal. But Ricky Rubio, Ricky Tiki Tata, he's missed with 1 minute 10 to go in the fourth. That completely sank them because they were within spinning distance still at that point. You're like, oh shit, they might have a shot, bro. They might have a shot. And then they proceeded to just crap the bed and basically not score for a huge swathe. It was 93-94 with a minute 30 to go. Utah did not score the rest of the way. Like, that is an immense crapping of the bed. Jesus. Missed a couple of shots. PJ Tucker even kept the minute by missing two free throws. And then Utah just had a bunch of turnovers that were just brutal. Donovan Mitchell had some bad shots. Gobert got stripped by Harden with 38 seconds, and that was that. Free throws, and it was over. So just a brutal showing. I feel bad a little bit, I guess, for the Jazz, but come on, man. You got to run your offense, and if your offense is shit, then this is what you get, I guess. They shot 44%, did the Jazz. 37%, sorry, for the Jazz. 35 of 94. 9 of 38 from 3. That's not going to do it. A lot of that was Donovan fucking Mitchell. He went 4 of 22. Kobe! Jesus. 0 of 9 from 3 for 12 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 turnovers. We're going to talk about him later. You bet your bottom dollar we will. Ricky Tikitata Rubio, he had 17 points on 7 of 15 shooting, but he went 1 of 5 from downtown. Brutal, including that brutal air ball late. It's just really tough to watch. He had 11 assists, though, but still. Rudy Gobert, the staff of Tower. He had 9 points, 10 rebounds, but somehow shot 3 of 8, despite being like 7 foot 20. I don't know, man. He also had 2 blocks, but Jesus. He was corralled and just couldn't really shake free to Gobert. Jay Crowder had 15 points on 5 of 12, shooting 3 of 7 from downtown. But, I mean, it's pretty dangerous when you've got Jay Crowder shooting 5 of 12. Like, for him to take 12 shots, you're like, I don't know. Surely we can find some better way to distribute those shots. Jesus. And Jingling Joe Ingles went 4 of 12 for his 11 points. He had 9 assists, though, as well. Shot poorly for the entire series, did the Jingler. Bit of a rough one. He only had 5 threes for the first 4 games of the series. He had 3 in the first 14 minutes of Game 5, but then could not get it going again, which sucked. So... Royce O'Neal was very good. He had 18 points and 5 rebounds. Great D on Harden. All series, he was really good. So good job, Royce O'Neal. Derek Favors only got out there for 18 minutes. He only had 7 points, 4 rebounds. Feel like they could have maybe gone a little bit bigger to see if they could combat some of the craziness that Houston were throwing at them. But they didn't really lean on the old Faves there. It's a bit of a rough one. Korver didn't play in this game. And Thabo Sefolosha came out there for 5 minutes of the most useless basketball you'll see. 0 of 3 from the field, 0 of 2 from downtown. It's the opposite of being really ready off the bench, apparently, for Thabo. That sucked. I love me some Thabo. Didn't like seeing him being bad. For the Rockets, the bench were great at home. They only had 5 points last game. They had 20 in this one, so that's a little bit better. And look, James Harden. You'd say that he struggled, 26 points on 26 shots, 10 of 26 shooting. Kobe! 3 of 12 from 3, 6 assists, 6 rebounds, and 5 turnovers, but hit shots when they mattered, and was pretty bloody good just at times where you're like, oh shit, yeah, James Harden is really good at basketball still. Chris Paul had 15 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. He hit a massive 3 in there. He only went 1 of 4 from downtime, and 6 of 16 overall, but still, he was very good. Clint Capella came up good with his 2 fucking respiratory infections or whatever it was. 6 of 7 from the field for him after going 1 of 7 last game. Ends up with 16 points and 10 rebounds, 3 blocks. Nice. That's awesome. Good on him. Eric Gordon had 15 points, went 4 of 8 from 3, got going early and kept them in it, especially when Utah were flexing and threatening to sort of jump away a little bit. Eric Gordon hit like a massive banked in 3 that came out of nowhere and gave the Rockets a little boost, and obviously then ended up pushing them in the second quarter to taking a bit of a lead. PJ Tucker had 8 points, went 2 of 6 from downtown. Nene got out there for 9 minutes, which was wild. He had 8 points and 4 rebounds. The Manimal, Kenny Ferrito, was only out there for 3 minutes. Still had 2 points, 1 rebound. Daniel House, he went 2 of 3 from the floor. 2 of 2 from 3 for 7 points. Austin Punchable Rivers, yeah, fine, whatever. And him and Geraldo Green sort of got out there for a little bit of run, 9 minutes and 7 minutes respectively. 3 points between the two of them, but it didn't matter. They just had it. The Rockets. They sort of just gave them the old 1-2. Oh, James Harden, Chris Paul. Ah, watch out. Eric Gordon's hitting some shots. And Clint Capella's mopping everything else up. And that's how they won. So, Houston take it 4-1. Rough way for the Jazz to go out. Just not scoring down the stretch and coughing up the ball time after time after time was absolutely brutal. Really rough way to see them go. And would have been nice to see Jingles take that open, wide open 3 that he gave up right at the end too. Really hurt my heart. There you go. So, what do you do when one of the teams goes out? We've got to say goodbye to the Utah Jazz. Bye-bye, Utah. Yes, all right, let's clap him out the door. Climb on. Thanks for coming, Jazz. You were a little bit disappointing there, to be honest. Yeah, it was a bit rough, wasn't it? Yeah. Anyway, so let's wrap up. Clippers, Golden State was the second game today, and the Clippers go into Golden State and for the second time in this series win in Oakland, 129-121. Obviously, after their famous 31-point comeback in Game 2. The big question in this series was always, will Pep Bev kill Steph Curry? Well, he's trying to kill Kevin Durant, apparently, which is pretty fun. And it was really like, you know, can the Clips young dudes make some noise? Turns out they're doing pretty bloody well. The key blokes were Boogie. He's gone. Montrez, and he is smashing it. Whether or not Steph was healthy was a big question as well. He's been all right, but he was pretty quiet today. Like, efficient, but quiet. And Lou Will, and shot 15 of 44 in the regular season against the Warriors. Also dropped 50 on them the year before. It's been a Lou Will roller coaster this series because he was amazing today. And the best matchup to Mets best matchup to watch out for, Doc versus Steve Kerr and whoever they throw on the coward snake. Pretty good so far. Doc and Steve Kerr have been going hammer and tongs, has been pretty good. So today's game, game 5, Clips 129-121 winners. Gallo, Pat Bev, and Lou Will got going early for the Clips. But the Warriors couldn't miss either. I mean, they went 10 of 16 on threes in the first half. Only had 5 turnovers. But the Clippers were up 8 because Lou Will had 18, Gallo had 16, and Pat Bev had 14 with 9 rebounds. They were absolutely smashing it. Montrez didn't miss a shot. Klay was smoking as well. He went 6 of 9. Nice. Early. And there you go, though. Like, they were down 8 points, 71-63. The Warriors' defense gave up 71 points in the first half, which is absolutely bananas. Because remember, that means they've given up 135 in Game 2 and 129 in Game 5. Last two home games, that's how much they've given up. What the fuck is going on there? Gee, it's almost like the Warriors don't really give that much of a shit on D. But anyway, this was great. The third quarter, the Warriors were like, all right, fuck it. We're kicking into gear and the Clippers like, ah, shit, here we go. God damn it. And the Warriors threw their best punch. The Clippers, however, withstood it and ended up actually randomly winning the quarter by 2 points. What was it, 33 to 31. Absolutely wild. They were missing mid-range shots here and there, and you're like, ah, game's over, mate. Game's over. And you come on, like, come on, Clippers, just hold on, man, just hold on. And they did. They actually kept it together. They got some like a weird little run sort of towards the end of that third quarter where they're like, oh, fuck it. You know what? Lou Will's pretty good. And Gallo hit a couple of shots. He like woke up out of fucking nowhere, which is pretty good. But Lou Will, Jermichael Green's three-pointer put them up 194 in the last minute of the third quarter. And then Trez had a just huge dunk. And they basically scored like a, what was it, the last 7 points to put themselves up 10 going into the fourth. And that was really bloody handy, obviously, because anytime you want to get on the fourth quarter up 10, you'll take it. The problem was the Clippers then didn't score on 6 straight offensive possessions in the middle of the fourth quarter. And we saw the Warriors take a lead. And it was very much like, oh, shit. They've bloody well done it, haven't they? Oh, yeah, buggers. Oh, I hate them. They're just going out here. They're just going to do it. And then Lou Will just went, you know what? Nah, fuck it. I don't want to lose yet. So let's do this. And that's exactly what he did. He went, ah, fuck yous. And halfway through that fourth quarter when the Warriors got up, it was like, all right, fuck you. Let's do it. And he did. He went out and did it. Scored 10 straight. Absolutely nuts. Like, KD went to the rack twice. Got the Warriors their first lead since midway through the second quarter. Lou Will, 4-point play. Goes for 2 more. There's a huge charge taken by Pat Bev up the other end. Lou scores 2 more. He scored 10 straight. He's giving Kevin Durant all kinds of fucking problems. And the Warriors are bitching and moaning about the officiating. It's like, how about you just fucking play a little bit better on Lou Will? Just saying. Pat Bev had 13 rebounds, got a massive one late. Gallo got a bucket that the old Warriors gave up the ghost on, and that was it. It's like the Warriors just sort of gave up. And there's like, fuck, there's 48 seconds left, you idiots. You're only down like three scores. Locked down. Oh, no. Gallo scored. Game over. So that was fun as hell. Look, for the Warriors, the Coward Snake, Kevin Durant, had 45 points. Huge, huge game for the Coward Snake. Playoff career high for the Coward Snake. 14 of 26 from the field, 5 of 12 from 3, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. He was awesome. But couldn't get him over the hump. Klay, he started hot, cooled off very rapidly, went 9 of 20 overall for 22 points. Steph, you kind of forgot he was out there for a bunch of it, right? Which is pretty weird. Only took 15 shots, 7 of 15 for him, 4 of 5 from 3. You feel like, well, he's going 4 of 5 from 3. He's got 24 points. Maybe we should feed him the... Nah. 4 assists as well. Just a rough one. It was weird. Really weird. Anyway, Draymond, he had 7 points on 7 shots, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. Iggy went 1 of 7 from the field. He was brutal today. McKinney had 7 points. Kevon Looney had 5 points, 7 rebounds, and got absolutely fucking destroyed by Montrezl Harrell, which was very fun. Sean Livingston went 2-2-2. But the Clippers, I mean, holy shit. I mean, the Warriors only had 8 turnovers. It was crazy. They shot 15 to 39 from 3. Took 96 shots to 85 of the Clippers, but only shot 44% on them. The Clippers went 46 of 85 for 54%. Man, how's that Warriors defense, though? So look, really, this all came down to the Sweet Lou takeover. 33 points, 10 assists. He was absolutely wilding on Kevin Durant. It's like, oh, Kevin Durant's the best two-way player in the game. Well, Lou Will is like, fuck all that. I'm going to just score him at will. What do you reckon? Montrezl Harrell had 24 points, 11 of 14 shooting. Jesus, 5 rebounds. Danilo Gallinari had 26 points on 22 shots. He went 9 of 22, 3 of 11 from downtown, 7 rebounds and 2 assists. Pat Bev had 17 points, a career high 13 rebounds, 5 assists. He went 5 of 11 from 3 as well. Shai Redder and Sham Wow both had 6, 3, and 3. And Jermichael Green had 15 points, 4 rebounds, and hit 3 of 6 threes. That was awesome. He was a cast-off from Memphis, don't forget that. The Warriors bench shot 7 of 23 for 17 points. The Clippers went 23 of 34 for 59 points. I mean, obviously, a lot of that is Lou Will and Trez. In fact, all of it apart from 2 points, but still, that's awesome. So Golden State, they lose at home again. It's now 3-2. They've lost 2 at home. It's absolutely wild times. So who was our NBA Australia approved performer of the night?
That's not a night.
How could it be anybody but Sweet Lou Williams? Holy shit. It could even just be the Clippers in general. What a takeover this was in the fourth quarter. As I mentioned, they had 6 straight possessions where they turned it over, didn't even get a shot. And it's like, oh, this sucks. And, they had a couple of shots, but they were just 6 straight empty possessions. And you're like, fuck it. Warriors going to win. Brutal. And Sweet Lou went, you know what? Nah, fuck that noise. I'm going to just take it at Kevin Durant. Watch this. Bang! Goes at him. 33 points. Absolutely amazing. 10 assists as well. And he did it just so efficiently and not without like smashing in a kajillion three-pointers. That's crazy part about Lou Will, right? He went 1 of 2 from downtown. The rest of it was 12 of 19 from the floor. Absolutely wild times. 10 assists, 5 turnovers. He was amazing. Sweet Lou Williams, easily the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. But what about Old Mate No Mates?
Old Mate No Mates.
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 Well, this is easy because it's also our spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Wow, it's the old rare twofer. That's right, Donovan fucking Mitchell, Old Mate No Mates, puts up, and the spud of the night, puts up 4 of 22 shooting, and boy howdy did the internet jump on old Donovan Mitchell. Jesus, he got called Tyreek Evans with a green light, Kelly Oubre Jr. with terminal diabetes, Good Samaritan Chris Childs, Pigeon-Toed Norm Powell with a burst fade, Streaky Rodney Stuckey, Dion Waiters on meal preps, Jesus, worse Steve Francis, that's me, and then at the end of the game, he's definitely Old Mate No Mates because he didn't shake hands with the Rockets, and everyone's like, oh, bro, I'm not sure how we're meant to feel about that. Isn't it really good when they're like super competitive and don't want to shake hands with the opposition? But at the same time, they should all be friends after the series is over, bro. So he was definitely old mate, no mates with the Rockets and with the Rockets fans and the internet in general today. But he was also just spud of the night because, wow, Donovan Mitchell, you've been awesome here and there. But Jesus, if you want to give Ben Simmons shit, in a closeout game, maybe, just perhaps, you got to do better than be worse Steve Francis. 4 of 22 from the field, 0 of 9 from 3 for 12 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, and 5 turnovers. Literally no one else in the history of the playoffs has had that stat line where you've had 4 or less made field goals on more than 21 field goal attempts with 1 or less assists or 5 or more turnovers. Wow. Donovan Mitchell, you're out there making history. Just in a bad way. Jesus, that was a brutal one for Donny. Panting of the night, that just goes to the 1 minute and 30 seconds at the end of the Jazz's season, because that looked fucking horrible, mate. Jesus, they gave up the ghost, looked like they had no clue, completely forgotten how to run an offensive set, turning it over left, right, and center. Ricky Rubio's airballing threes. God damn, man. It's like they got pantsed over and over and over again. It was like a spate of pantings by the Rockets. It's like terminal bullying. Holy shit. And also goes to Kevin Looney. Montrez met him at the summit and sent him packing in an absolute... Kevin Looney is like, oh shit, cool, I got a free and open dunk. And Montrez just said, it, nah. Bang! Got that the shit fucking right out of there. Nice one. So good job, Kevin Looney, but not because Montrez pantsed you. And the Jazz, you got pantsed. I'm real sorry, but it was brutal. What about better than Lonzo Ball, though, for today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, as long as you're sitting on a couch at home watching the playoffs, because I guess that means it's bowling season.
It's bowling season!
I don't know, did you get your playoff merch? Get your merch, get your merch.
Steve up!
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it!
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Yeah, did you get your merch? Nice one. Better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball today. Look, Donovan Mitchell just turned into like worst Steve Francis out of nowhere, which was a tough one. So he's not going to be better than Lonzo Ball. But I mean, just by a simple fact of being in the playoffs, he's already better than Lonzo Ball. So we might actually just give this to Landry ShamWow Shamit and Shai Redder, Gilgeous Alexander. Just a couple of rookies out there starting for a playoff team that has taken 2 games off the Warriors on the road. That is unreal. They both went 6-3-3 each, which is pretty weird. 3 of 7 combined. And look, did not shy away. Landry Shamwell's defense has been neck level awesome. And Shai Redder just plays like fucking like he's 10 years older than he is. So good job. Weirdo of the week. Can we give this to Chris Paul? Screaming, don't touch the top of my head at PJ Tucker was pretty fucking strange, man. What do you reckon this was? Was it a bit of the little man syndrome, or was it a little bit of the little man also I'm balding, don't sun me syndrome? Holy shit, that was pretty crazy. And also flip it to a bit of a legend of the week. What do you reckon about this one? Oh, I don't mind a little bit of a legend of the week. It was a pretty cool moment where Jimmy Butler hosted an Easter egg hunt with over 600 plus eggs for fans and staff at the Sixers training facility. Prizes included candy, cash money, PlayStations, and fucking flat screen TVs. Go watch Jimmy Butler's Instagram story. It's absolutely wild. What an absolute legend. I've actually been to that Philly training facility, and it's beautiful out there. It's actually over in Camden, New Jersey, but that was awesome. Good job, Jimmy Butler. You're a legend. Legend of the week. That's awesome. All right, we'll be back in a second with Yanaz right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. So yeah, now where we take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Oh, mate. Hey, was Dame Lillard's shot a bad shot? Yeah, nah. I mean, yeah, but... nah, if you're Dame Lillard, holy shit. Paul George came out and said, that's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says, that's a bad shot. But hey, he made it. that story won't be told that it was a bad shot. We live with that. It turns out Dame Lillard's actually shot 42% from 30 to 40 feet. Holy shit. He shot 10 of 18 from 30 feet and beyond during the series against OKC. That's fucking crazy. And Draymond Green even backed up Dame saying, if you get 50, I don't know if any shot is a bad shot. And for once in my life, I'm, you know, inclined to agree with Draymond Green. Dame was feeling it. It's tied. Like, fuck yes. Just shoot it. Doesn't matter. It's not a bad shot. Dame was 47 points at that point. Turns into an all-time moment. Dame, you absolute legend. Number two. Should Utah, the Utah Jazz, it's a soft J, be proud of the way they went out? Look, they were a head-scratcher all year, weren't they? They were the ninth-ranked defense and kind of slowed down the Rockets at time. I love watching them sort of sit someone on Harden's left shoulder to the point where, like, Royce O'Neal and Ricky Rubio were literally just standing behind him and giving him the middle of the floor but not letting him take a step back three. That was unreal. Ninth-ranked defense, but at the same time, they were the only other team in the top 10 of D to have an offensive rating worse than their defensive rating. The other one was Indy, and both teams were pretty rough to watch, and both teams fell apart in the playoffs once everyone went, oh, no, these motherfuckers can't score. Shit. Huh. I think we can win this. So, yeah, that they never figured out how to score outside of relying on Ricky Tiki-Tata and Jay Crowder just improbably going off for tiny little stretches was not ideal. Like, Donovan Mitchell's incredible. That's awesome. But beyond Mitchell, I mean, what else did they have offensively? Pretty tough, man. Ingles had a really bad series at a really bad time. And you got to hope that he bounces back next year and they're pretty good. And Utah just figured out how to use Donovan Mitchell a little bit better. Because that leads us to, is there hope for the Jazz going into the offseason? I mean, yeah, they were a 5 seed. They probably should have been in a higher, like maybe higher, but they never really, really clicked all year and really kicked into gear when they just went into, you know, kicking ass and taking names mode and kind of expected it. I mean, they were my big top 3 seed pick for this season. Turns out basically Portland took their spot. But they've got to figure out what they want to be and what they want to do, especially on offense. They've got Mitchell and Gobert. That's fine. Do they want Ricky Rubio there? Do they make another run at Mike Conley and see if they can pry him away from Memphis? It's obviously not like they're a free agent destination. They've got about $16 million in cap space, which is some around the margins kind of stuff. They've got to figure out what the hell they're doing with basically playing Derek Favors and going, no, it's good, trust me. I mean, shit, dudes, come on. What are y'all doing? That hurts my fucking heart. So it's pretty rough, man, watching sort of Derek Favors out there. They need sort of probably someone else big and stretchy. Maybe in place of the old Derek Favors, I don't know. Maybe they play Crowder. Like, Crowder's just too unreliable. So it's just weird. They're going to really sort of sit there and go, what do we do? How do we help Donovan Mitchell succeed? Can Rudy Gobert just completely anchor this defense? And how do we build our D around him as well? It's tough. It's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting to see what they do. The Jazz have been very good the last couple of years. But they sort of seem like, you know, a bit of a question mark, which is weird. You wouldn't expect it either. Okay, at 3-2, are the Warriors in trouble? Yeah, nah. Come on, they'll be fine. They've beaten the Clippers twice already in the Clippers' place, and they'll probably do it again in Game 6. And finally, can the Rockets give the Warriors a bit of a run for their money, do you reckon, once the Warriors eventually put away the Clips? Maybe, yeah. I mean, that was very impressive the way they took care of business against Utah, wasn't it? I mean, holy shit. They just really put them to the sword. So let's find out. Anyway, time for the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. The unpopular opinion of the day is, the layup that Dame Lillard made to tie the game was probably more difficult and more important than the fucking crazy long bomb he hit to win the series and win the game. I mean, go back and watch it. It's this twisty, crazy fucking layup that he takes like no time off the clock, which allows the Blazers to not only tie up the game on that possession, but they get to go a 2-for-1 So they get to ensure that they have the last possession. OKC crapped the bed up one end, and therefore Dame actually has a shot to hit that long bomb. I'm just saying, that layup was probably more difficult and more important. He went right in the teeth of the defense, kissed it off the glass. It was amazing. Drops it and did it in perfect timing. God damn, Dame. God damn. All right, it's Thursday at Outback Takehouse. And you know what that means? It's Bloomin' Onion Thursdays. That's right. No bugger in Australia knows what the fuck these things are. It's some sort of deep fried onion made out to look like a bloody onion. I mean, have you ever heard of that, Jeff?
Nope.
Didn't think so, mate. Oh, well, we've got a shit ton of them here, so it's like 3 for 1 or whatever. Only at Outback Takehouse, and only on Thursdays. The best part is, they go great with a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is... Kevin Durant will go to New York this offseason, but it will not be to go to the New York Knickerbockers of New York City. Kevin Durant, if he has any sense, will go to Brooklyn this offseason. He's already friends with D'Angelo Russell. He gets all the trappings of being in New York and gets none of the Knicks' baggage. He gets to take a young team that's already made the playoffs up a level and gets all the credit if they succeed. Kevin Durant is going to Brooklyn. Confirmed. Only at Outback. Flame grill take. I fucking love that. Could you imagine? And it also makes a lot of sense. Brooklyn, they've got a shit ton of cap space. They're a young team. They really just need that sort of top-end class to really put them up a level in the East. And KD, if he wants to go there and not deal with the absolute fuckwittery of, like, the Knicks and their shitty owner, KD, go there, look awesome in black and white, kick some ass and take some names. I love it! Let's do it! All right, we'll be back in a second with Australian Player Watch. And what do we got? The Kiwi Corner game preview and Petty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in right after.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, let's do it. NBA Australia, Australian Player Watch. We had Jinglin' Joe Ingles and Andrew Bogut going today, and we bid farewell to our sweet prince, the jingler, Joe Ingles, and obviously Dante Exum, but he was injured. Game 5 versus the Rockets, as mentioned, went 4 of 12 from the field, 3 of 9 from 3 for Joe. He had 11 points, 6 rebounds, 9 assists, and 3 steals. So with that, he joins Michael Jordan, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Shaquille O'Neal in the career 250-plus points, 115-plus rebounds, 97-plus assists, and 39-plus steals club for the playoffs. So, good on you, Joe. There's also a couple of other people in that club, but still. Great stuff, Jingles. Had a really, really, really rough shooting time over to Joe in this series. After torching the Rockets last year, 15-5-5, this playoff series, he averaged 6-5-5 basically, and shot 30% from the field and 28.3% from three. Just an absolute rough outing. So, hopefully he comes good next year and, you know, keeps on kicking ass and taking names on your jingles. And Andrew Bogut, Bogey, filling in for Boogie. Game 5 against the Clippers, he had 6 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal. Was pretty good too. Looked pretty good out there. Didn't play a giant amount. He only was out there for 17 minutes. Got slugged with one really bung-ass foul that I did not appreciate, but still. Anya Bogey out there still kicking ass and doing really well, filling in for Boogie. All right, what do we do on Thursdays? We check up with Kiwi Corner, and this is going to be the last time we do this because Steven Adams has been eliminated from the playoffs. So he finished the regular season averaging 14-9, did Steven Adams, and in the postseason in Game 1 against the... Blazers and against his old mucker, Enes the Penis Kanter, he had 17-9-1, then 16-9 in game 2, 10-7 with 2 assists and a block in game 3, 6-7 in game 4 with an assist, a block, a steal, and in game 5 had 10-4-2-3, so that's 4 rebounds, 2 assists and 3 blocks. So his average for the postseason was only 11.8 points, 7.2 rebounds, 1.4 assists, 1 block and 1 steal. On 66.7% shooting from the field, he went 28 of 42. That's awesome. But you can see where like his effectiveness really dropped off in the last three games. 10-7, 6-7, 10-4. Just out there playing some pretty hard-nosed defense, but it really looked like he was sort of carrying a bit of an injury for probably the last, what, 6-7 weeks of the season? So be interesting to see what comes out of that. But anyway, Steven Adams, pretty good year. You would have liked to have seen him take a little bit more of a big step forward. But he started off the year really, really well. But I think, I'm going to guess that he picked up a little bit of something around the All-Star break and sort of slowed his role in the second half of the year. So it's a bit of a shame. But a great season anyway for the big Kiwi Colossus. On you, Steven. We love you, bro. Right, what about the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? Well, the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in / inspiration board. How about we get a bit of an inspiration from Dame Dollar? That's right, Dame Lillard on Instagram. He quoted Sun Tzu, the Art of War, just posted the quote saying, "It is the unemotional, reserved, calm, detached warrior who wins, not the hothead seeking vengeance and not the ambitious seeker of fortune." Unreal. Dame. That's legitimately kind of like inspiring. Holy shit. But also, come on, man. We've got to give this one to Matty Dellavedova, King Deli. As mentioned earlier, it's Anzac Day. And Deli tweeted out this morning, Anzac Day. # lest we forget. Indeed. That's right. Bang on. Lest we forget indeed. All right, let's do game previews for tomorrow. There's only one of them.
Game preview. Game preview.
Thanks, inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. It's pretty weird there's only one game tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, the Friday's going to be over early. Love it.
That's pretty good. What are we going to do?
Go hang out with the squid some more. So let's have a look at the odds for Spurs Nugs tomorrow. Back there, 3-2, heading back to San Antone. San Antonio is a lovely place. I've been there. It's pretty good. The Alamo, pretty neat. The Spurs are 2.5-point favorites to win this at home. 2.5 points. -2.5 for the Spurs. I feel like the Nuggets are on a bit of a roll here, so I think the Nuggets win this, so I'll take the Nuggets +2.5. They looked very, 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 very good in Game 5. They have won in San Antonio already this series, and I feel like they've kind of just figured out San Antonio just a little bit. They know how to slow down LaMarcus and DeMar DeRozan there. And look, Jam and Jamal sort of, woken up a little bit. If he has a rough game, they probably lose. But the Spurs, look, if Derek White doesn't go off and if Bryn Forbes, Patty Mills don't have good games, then the Spurs usually get, beat. So I feel like the Nuggets win this in 6, and so I'll take the Nuggets +2.5. Nice. Awesome. That'd be fun. Holy shit, that means we're going to have a pretty quick show tomorrow. I like that. Awesome. Well, we'll be back tomorrow with a wrap of that game and all the other news going on. There's going to be like a shit ton, no doubt. But either way, in the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We've got a whole bunch of NBA Australia Never Forgets popping off over the next couple of weeks, which are really good. That's Twitter, Facey, Insta. And, all the usual stuff during the games is what we do. Chuck a rating and review up on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, however you listen to us, like through your Apple Android app. Android app, there you go. Just mash 5 stars. Chuck a review as well on there somewhere. It helps out heaps. And tell a mate. Just go, oi, stay up to date with the NBA through NBA Australia, dickhead. Do it. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. It's awesome. I've been smashing it non-stop since it came out. It is unreal. Big thanks to also to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that's it. Hope you've had a great Anzac Day. Enjoy it. Knock back a few. I know I will be. And we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. We're going to close out with the Diary of Steven Adams. And this is NBA Australia saying, Lederhosa! Oh, cool, Kia ora, Bruce. How's it going, eh? It's Steven Adams here, eh, Bruce? You'll have to excuse me, eh, Brew? I haven't been to bed yet.
We've been out on the piss since we got home to OKC. We had a couple of pops on the plane and everything as well, bro. But I still figured I'd better write in my diary, eh, so even if I can't see straight, bro, so forgive me, but here goes. Dear diary, it's me, your bro, Steven Adams, bro. But, whatever. Why don't you ever write to me, diary, bro? I mean, it's always me writing in you, eh? Did you ever think about that, bro? Anyway, I can't be mad at you, bro. You're my bro, bro. Yeah. Okay, so this whole losing thing sucks, bro. Oi, boy! Paul, bro! Give me a bro, would you, bro? Oh, cheers, bro. So as I was saying, bro, this losing thing is shit as, eh? So, I mean, we are up 15, bro. 15. You shouldn't lose when you're up 15 in the fourth quarter, eh? I mean, come on, bro. But that little Russ fella, bro, oh, mate. He just gets in a way, you know. Even though my friend Paul was on fire, bro. Little Russ was like, oh, fellas, I've got this, eh? And we're all like, Russ, we're here if you need us. But also, maybe pass the ball to Paul a little bit here, eh? What do you think, bro? Still, nothing we said or did mattered, eh? So, like, little Russ just did his thing. And then that Damien fella hit that silly shot from bloody half court, bro. And that was that. I mean, whoa. Game over, bro. Series over, bro. Time for beers, bro. But shit. Alright, so here we are getting shit-faced on creepy American beers, bro. And little Russ did his usual thing. And once we lost the game, we went back into the locker room. And he beat the piss out of my other friend Terrence. About to flush him down the toilet, bro, until I stepped in for once and I said, hey, Russ! Russ, bro! Settle down, bro! Terrence wasn't the one who was shooting 11 of 31, eh? And Russ looked at me, he was like, oh, I'm gonna fight you, bro. Looked at me, then looked at me again and realized it was me, Steven Adams. And you don't fight Steven Adams, bro, he bicked off. So it was just as bloody well. So now we're on the tens, and Russ has already gone home because he's like a bit of a piss out, you know? So it's just been me and my boys, Paul, Terrence. Hey, Terrence! Terrence! You're a good fella, bro. Don't listen to Russ, eh? My fella, Ray Ray. Oh, Ray. Put down the hot dog, bro. Nerlin's over there. He's pretty good. Even Coach Billy. Hey, Billy. He's been getting on it. Probably because he knows the beer's about to get shit canned, eh? But, anyway. But, no, me, Bruce. I'm always optimistic. There's always next year. So we'll put him... We'll get them then, eh, I guess. So, I think that's all I can write right now, diary. I mean, right now. right now. That's funny as, oh, sweet as, bro. I've had a few too many sarsaparillas, I think. And I've got to look at all the texts my friend Ina sent me, bro, in the last couple of hours. I mean, most of them are in Turkish, bro, but whatever. I think I get the gist of them. I think they're all saying, like, ha, suck shit, bro. So, fuck you, Ennis. Anyway, diary, I'll write to you next week when I'm on holiday, bro. And maybe when I've soobed up. I might still be on the 10, you never know. Okay, until then, cheers, love, Steven Adams, bro.